the book called the Gospel of Luke, the words of Joshua of Nazareth according to Luke. Joshua is a more consistent translation of what has been traditionally translated Jesus. Basic book introduction by this commentator. Distinguish between the author and his subject. The author is a man named Luke, assumed to be a non-Jew who lived at the same time and in the same area that Joshua lived, and who probably had encounters with Joshua. Luke was thought to be a physician, based primarily on this comment of Paul in the New Testament book of Colossians. Quote, Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings and also Demas, unquote. That's from Colossians chapter 4, verse 14 of Paul's letter. Luke opens his book with these words about his reason and methods for writing it. Verse 1:1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Commentary note 1. Joshua is referred to as the word by Luke. See John chapter 1. The scripture itself refers to Joshua of Nazareth as the word, quote unquote, and the Bible authors never use the phrase the word in reference to the Bible or any book in it. Yet most Bible people substitute the Bible for Joshua, a grave error that nullifies the true word of God, who is Joshua of Nazareth. Continuing text, verse 3. It seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught, unquote. End of verse 3. So Luke, the assumed author of the book, no doubt had most things correct about Joshua since he investigated everything carefully, quote unquote. This commentator believes that he accurately wrote down what Joshua said and did based on his own encounters with Joshua, as well as talking to Joshua's other disciples, including the first 11. However, the reader must understand the distinction between his accurately recording what Joshua said and did versus his having a perfect understanding of what Joshua said and did. For example, a person can see a man running down a street in an urgent fashion yelling fire. The person witnessing the man running can accurately identify the time and place and other facts associated with the event, but the witness cannot know for sure why the man is running and yelling fire. In like manner, let the reader understand all men, including the men who were with Joshua and including this commentator, had beliefs, religious baggage, so to speak, that hindered them from having a perfect understanding of Joshua and his purpose. They, like us, had minds containing things, particularly religious things, which are not from Joshua, which things they could not reconcile with some of the things Joshua said. For example, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Even while they accurately recorded what he said and did. Therefore, the reader should place full confidence in Joshua and his words only, in terms of having as close to a perfect understanding of Joshua as is possible. This is only reasonable as no one but Joshua could have a perfect understanding of Joshua. While Luke's narrative and commentary, in contrast to Joshua's own words and teachings, is almost certainly accurate in regard to historical details of the circumstances of Joshua's life, only the words of Joshua alone should have the reader's full trust in regard to understanding Joshua and his purposes, revealing the whys regarding Joshua's words and actions. To assist the reader in this endeavor, Joshua's words are in bold in the publishing of this book of Luke. This commentator's comments are italicized and either contained in parentheses or preceded by a subscripted number. Sections of text that are in title case, where the first letter of each word in a sentence or phrase is capitalized, are quotes of the Old Testament scripture. The purpose of this commentator's comments is threefold. First, it is try to define terms according to Joshua's own usage in the four Gospels and to do so using simpler or clarified terms or phrases that avoid religious vocabulary. This is necessary for readers with little or no exposure to concepts they have not encountered before or terms or concepts that they have not been given an incorrect meaning through current religious culture. For example, an important concept, quote, religious leaders, unquote, has been hidden by using the name of a specific religious sect leadership, quote, the Pharisees, unquote. The modern reader will have little idea what Pharisees were, but they can certainly grasp the concept religious leaders, which is exactly what the Pharisees were. An example of a term that has been modified by current religious culture would be prophet, unquote. This term has come to mean in the current religious culture a person who foretells the future. The term, as Joshua used it, simply means someone who speaks God's truths. Second purpose of writing the book is to bring to the reader's attention the important teachings of Joshua, which are nullified, that means canceled out or made of no effect, by contradictions with other passages in the Bible or by contemporary religious teaching. This is not exhaustive, but rather brings to light the contradictions which, in this commentator's opinion, nullify some of the more important teachings of Joshua. The third purpose of writing the book is to clear the dirt off his person and sayings, so to speak, for those who want to hear but have been confused or deceived by the myriad of other voices that claim they understand Joshua better than Joshua understands Joshua. For those people who participate in the religious system, perhaps the most commonly used mantra of the Bible-based religious system's leadership is, quote, Jesus doesn't mean that. You need us, your educated clergy, to understand what Jesus really means, unquote. This commentator has news for you. Jesus generally does mean what he says. No, I don't mean that you turn figurative language into literal language, like when he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, rip it from your head. Rather, I am referring to his teachings that go against humankind's normal inclination, or that challenge some aspect of the way I am living. So, for example, the simple teaching, love your enemies. Yes, it does mean that. No, joining a military and killing the enemy cannot be reconciled with love your enemies. You may not like what Joshua has to say, but let him say it and don't twist his words. After all, if Joshua is who he says he is, we would do well to listen.